Take out your Bibles, if you would, please. I'd like you to see all this in your own Bible. I'm going to be sharing from the New King James. I'll use other translations and versions this morning as well. But if you would please go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're going to go from verses 1 through 7. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. The Lord has a need. How many think Jesus might have ever had a need in his life? Come on, a few of you think so? Everybody? The Lord has a need. Let's see how he expresses it and what it is this morning. Mark 11, verses 1 through 7. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, and the way to pronounce this is Bethphage. Bethphage. Can you say that with me? Bethphage, and to Bethany, and in the Greek or Aramaic, that is Bethania. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, or Bethania, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat." Now, I have a couple of maps here that show you where Bethphage is, and you can see them in relationship. Down on that lower left quadrant is Jerusalem, Bethphage, and Bethania, or Bethany. So they're right close together. There's another map then, and you can see how it all relates. As we get ready to take a look at Easter and Resurrection Sunday, the triumphant entry, and you see where the Temple Mount is, where the Mount of Olives is, Bethphage or Bethphage, as well as Bethania. And so I think there's one more, isn't there? Yes. And here's the route that Jesus took on that triumphant entry. We're not going to go all the way through the triumphant entry this morning, but there is something that he has a need for that we're going to discuss. Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you've entered it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say it with me, "The Lord has need of it." And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way. They found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So it's pronounced Bethphage. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. What did Jesus command them to say? The Lord has need of him. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Watch it out of the Passion. Just a few phrases and some of the verses. "As soon as you enter the village ahead, you will find a donkey's colt tethered there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. And if anyone asks, 'Why are you taking it?' tell them, 'The master needs it and will send it back to you soon.'" The disciples brought the colt to Jesus and piled their cloaks and prayer shawls on the young donkey, and Jesus rode upon it. I want to take a quick look at some thoughts this morning about this section of Scripture. Now, remember the context of where we are. Jesus is working with his disciples. He's trying to get them to understand that he's heading into his final week of ministry. He's going forward to Jerusalem to an agonizing death where he will be betrayed and beaten and battered and bruised, killed, and then raised again on the third day. But how many know the disciples didn't get it? Kind of like us in our lives. Sometimes we don't get it. Pastor Sherry's opening this morning. When the devil comes on and throws to your face about how confused you are, we get to stop and say, But God is big enough, and he receives my praise, and he knows what he's doing. Though I don't understand, he does. But he's working with his disciples, and they don't quite see the picture. But these instructions are very clear. Every step in this final week is purposeful, intentional, and vital. Number one, let's learn some lessons from this. Be ready for God to move quickly. I'm going to ask you a question right now. I want you to look and give me your eyes. Are you ready for Jesus to move quickly? Quickly in your life, in our lives, in our nation, in this world. How many are ready for God to remarkably move? God is getting ready to move. He promises us in the Word of God, He will fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. It's His promise. It's going to happen. Church, I happen to be convinced that we're closer than ever to seeing it happen. I'm convinced. As soon as you enter the village, as soon as you get there, not go to the village, you two disciples, and most people think it was Peter and John, but as soon as you get there, not look around all week, you'll struggle, you can't find it, but I'll be with you as you walk on your journey and help you find this somewhere. He says, as soon as you enter the village, they received specific instructions about Jesus's next steps. This is an important mission. They don't know what's going to happen. But the master is given instruction and they obey. By the way, they know he's serious. But some people, some commentaries say, well, probably secretly, Jesus had contacted people ahead and set up this secret thing that was going to happen. But otherwise, most people or many believe this is a supernatural miracle. We serve a God, an arisen Savior now who knows exactly, He sees you. He knows exactly who you are this morning. Come on, say it with me. The Lord knows me. Come on, point at yourself. The Lord knows me. When Philip was going to share with Nathanael, he was sitting under a tree. Remember what Jesus said? I saw you before that even took place. It was one of the things that reached them, his heart for the reality of who Jesus was. He's a miracle-working God. He's a seeing God. He's a knowing God. Jesus understands. And I want you to know that Jesus is on God's prophetic time clock. And time is short. Time is short. Say that with me. Time is short. The clock is ticking. Every step is important. And I want you to know, God calls us to redeem the time. Say that phrase, redeem the time. Ephesians 5, 14 through 18. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then, you that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, Paul says, as he's teaching, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, debauchery, lechery, every sort of sin, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Don't choose the flesh. Don't live for the flesh. Don't go the world's way. Jesus has a calling and something for you to do, and go His way. Be filled and controlled by His Spirit. And that really means redeeming the time literally means buy up, ransom, rescue the time. Don't let it go unused. Don't let your time go by wasted. Rescue it from the devil. Don't go the devil's direction. Don't go the temptation's route. Don't go the world's way. But Jesus is saying, buy up the time. Live for me, and I've got a purpose for your glory. Awake, it's a late hour. The disciples did not really understand how late it was. The time clock kept ticking, and soon, within a week, the ministry of Jesus on earth, as they had known, is coming to an end. Immediately, do what He's called you to do. As soon as you enter the village, you're going to see this cult. God's prophetic time clock. I'm going to make one statement to you. I'm not going to make it as a, thus saith the Lord, but I'm going to suggest it as a possibility to be aware of. We have just seen, and again, we give praise to Jesus. We don't praise a man. But we have just seen one of the world's greatest evangelists, ministry and life, come to an end as he's gone into heaven to be with Jesus. There are prophecies that have been around for years in the body of Christ that as soon as he was taken from us in this life, we would be entering into an incredible time of transition. Do you know the Bible says Jesus will return, but there's a coming an end to the time of the Gentiles. And we've just seen a man who as a part of a team and as with the body of Christ around the world, swept around the world with crusades to bring multitudes and multitudes to Jesus. I don't believe that time is ending, but I believe that time is short. And if it is ending, if the time of the Gentiles is coming to an end, then Jesus is coming soon. Come on, I said, Jesus is coming soon. It's a transition in God's house. Do not allow yourself to be lulled to sleep to think, oh, no big deal. What's just happened is a big deal. What God does is not by accident. I just want us to be ready. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready for Jesus to return? Are you ready? Matthew 24, 42 through 44. Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. He wouldn't have gone to sleep. Therefore also you be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Watch. Luke 21:36. I'm going to give it to you out of four different versions. New King James. Watch therefore and pray. Always. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. New American Standard. But keep on the alert at all times. Come on, church, say it with me. Keep on the alert at all times. Out of the NIV, it says, be always on the watch. How many of you served in the military? Did you ever serve watch? Did you ever have watch? What was watch? Joseph, what was watch? Boom it out. Exactly right. Exactly right. How many thank God you were awake on your watch? People that you probably don't know about, thank God you were awake on your watch. And Jesus says, be on your watch always, praying in order that you may have the strength to escape all these things. Out of the Message. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly. You'll have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man. Out of the Passion, keep a constant watch over your soul and pray for the courage and grace to prevail over these things that are destined to occur, that you will stand before the presence of the Son of Man with a clear conscience. Now, I'm not wanting to die right now here today. Are you? Anybody else want to die today? No. But if we do, we have a certain forward looking into the presence of God, but He is going to come back. He's on His way. He's going to return. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus' calling on your life, for His next steps? Listen, church, if He prompts you, leads you, guides you, reach out to that family member, pray for this person, reach out to your neighbor, share the good news of Jesus. If He prompts your heart, be quickly responsive to what He wants. This event set up a remarkable event that we call Palm Sunday. It took obedience to every single step. How many cooks are in the room? Cooks. How many ever use recipes? Come on, use recipes. Do you know if you don't use the ingredients and take the steps they say in that recipe, just like Pastor Sherry said to me this morning when I asked her, if you don't use the ingredients and don't take the steps they say in the recipes, you know what you have? Something different. Something different than what the master chef was going to prepare by that recipe. He's got steps for each of us to take. And we need to put the right ingredients of surrender and yieldedness to Him so He can bake just what He wants to bake. Number two, the colt is tied up. The colt is tied up. It's a donkey's colt. It's specific. He's really specific. He says, and you're going to find it right away when you go into the town, and you're going to find a colt that's tied up. It's not been ridden. Jesus knows what He needs, and He sends His disciples for it. By the way, this is just interesting. Out of all four Gospels, only Matthew chapter 21, verses 2 through 7, only Matthew indicates that this is a donkey and her colt. And that Jesus says to bring them. And the disciples brought the donkey and her colt. In other words, an unridden colt would be ready to bolt if its mother wasn't there to help give a sense of assurance and peace as it walked that road. But by the way, also, We say that Jesus came lowly riding on the foal of a donkey, which is exactly what the scripture says. And he came in humility. That's exactly right. But we need to understand it's not just Jesus that rode on this. In contrast to a horse, kings would ride a donkey as well, but there was a different purpose. When they came in the town on donkey back, it would mean peace. When they came in on horseback, it means war. When you go to the book of Revelation, do you see donkeys getting ready to be released?
No.
You see the horsemen and the horses. In other words, Jesus is going to wrap things up, and he's not coming back as the quiet lamb. He's coming back as the king to reign. Now, Jesus knows an animal is there, typically an animal of burden. But it's never been ridden. It's never been guided. It's tied up. It's not free. How many know if it's tied up, it's not of use? Mark 11, verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. The colt that Jesus wants is found where two roads converge. And church, that's where you find needy people today. Where two roads converge. The road of life or the road to hell. The road of self or the road of surrender. And Jesus says people are tied up right there. How many know the Bible says multitudes, multitudes are in the valley of decision. You, by the grace of God, made a decision to surrender to Jesus. How many are glad? Come on, talk to me.
Yes.
But there's a lot of people who are all tied up right there where two roads meet. And Jesus says, I want you to untie that donkey and bring him, that colt, and bring him to me. Tied up in the Greek literally means in bonds, unusable. To loose that donkey means break up and destroy and dissolve what has it bound. Bring it to Jesus. And Jesus gives the disciples the words. If people object, here's your answer. The Lord, what is it? Has need of it. Church, how many know the Bible says the Lord will give you the words in that hour that you need them? You go, oh man, I'm afraid to talk to my family members. I'm afraid to talk to people. They reject me. They think I'm crazy. And the Lord says, listen, be at peace. Love those people. And I'll put the words in your heart. Be sensitive to their needs. Share how Jesus has helped you. You know, we make a witness thing, a huge thing. I got to know 15 steps and be perfect. You don't have to do any of that. Just share what Jesus has done for you. He saved me, redeemed me, forgave me my sins, and he can do the same for you. He loves you so much. That donkey, that colt is tied up. Number three, the Lord needs it. That means literally, Jesus has a divine destiny for the colt that's tied up. The Lord needs it. That word needs is, he has an occasion, a demand, a requirement, an employment for the donkey. It's literally what it means in the Greek. And he uses his disciples to loose that colt and bring it to the master. So, the colt and donkey needs to be loosed and untied and brought to Jesus because that colt has incredible purposes to fulfill. Just think of the story. Think of the triumphant entry. That colt has an incredible destiny to fulfill. You get that? And Jesus rides to his ministry. They cover the colt with their cloaks, their coats, their prayer shawls that hadn't had a saddle. The colt bears the master to his calling. To the end of this week, which is a brutal, horrific experience of suffering and beating and then crucifixion. The grace of God bore Jesus to his plan on the back of a colt that had never been written or ridden. Zechariah 9 verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just having salvation." Look, this is in the Old Testament. Hundreds of years before this event occurred. And the prophecy says, he is lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. What does all this mean? We are called to meet the need. Come on. Are you there? Everybody awake?
Yeah.
The Lord has a need. And we are called to meet the need. I'm going to say that one more time just in case you didn't get it. The Lord has a need. And we are called to meet the need. Come on, church. All I can tell you this morning, I have no idea when, but I'm telling you, the ticking clock of God is on the move. The time clock of God is on the move. The time is short. And with the remaining breaths we take, whether young or old, each of us has a divine destiny to fulfill. I was literally radically saved when I was 16. I grew up going to church, didn't like it, couldn't stand it. My mom was a preacher's kid. It didn't mean anything to me. I tried to give my life to the Lord. You heard me say that. I tried to give my life to the Lord when I was 14, but I didn't try too hard. And the Lord called in his ticket when I was 16. You start talking to me about passion, about destiny, about a purpose of God, and God having a plan that burns in your heart. And I tell you, that grips my soul, because I still, these many, many years later, I still have a heart that says, "Oh God, I want to do your will with all my heart. I want my life to count for you. I want to bear your purpose. I want to do your will. Oh God, in every remaining breath I've got left, whether young or old, whether many or few, Jesus, with everything within me, I want to do what you want to do. And I want to bear you to the purpose of God. I want to bring Jesus to the world." Come on, church, isn't that your heart's desire? He's got a plan and a purpose for you. And you go, "Oh man, come on, I'm retired. I'm nearly 80. I'm older than 80. Maybe I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Or maybe you look at me and go, "Yeah, I've been that." Doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't let you go. He just repurposes you. They're talking about repurposing Northgate now, making this huge thing, one of the first malls in America, about half its size. It's going to get repurposed. We hit stages in our life, and Jesus says, "I don't let you go. I just repurpose you." You still have a purpose in the Lord. Amen. He still loves you. He still cares. He still sees you. He still knows. He still has a need. And he comes and he says, "I want you to help me fulfill and meet my need." We're loosed then from the Master's purpose, radically saved and loosed. By the way, when you got loosed and forgiven in the Lord, you didn't just come to zero. You don't come from negative to zero. You move all the way into the positive. They bring the donkey to Jesus. You don't just get untied. You get brought to Jesus and then get filled up with his purpose, his plan, his forgiveness, his spirit. We're loosed for the Master's purpose. The Lord has a need for you and me to carry him to the world, to carry him to his ministry. Do you care? I do too. In these last days, in the final hours, he's sending us, as he said in the scripture, to the village, to the villages all around us, our neighborhoods, our families, to live like Jesus, to be like Jesus, act like Jesus, to radiate his presence and to reach out with his love, his mercy and his grace, to untie and deliver people and bring them to the Master. And there's an interesting little verse in the Passion, it says, "And the Lord will send him," the colt, "back home to you." Isn't it interesting? When the Lord redeems us, saves us, he sends us still to live in the world with those we love. Only we're changed. When you gave your life to Jesus, did you change? If you didn't, it's time. What does he want to do? What's the Lord's need? John 3:16, for God, say it with me, please, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Church, Jesus has a need. Let's be the disciples who see it, who hear it, and who meet it. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? If you're here this morning and maybe you gave your life to the Lord, but you still feel like you're tied up, I want you to know the Lord looses you this morning by the Spirit of God. I want you to know He cares, He loves. And if you sometimes think, well, God can't use me, I want you to know that's not right. Because He sees you, He knows you, He has something for you to do. Some colts that are all tied up that need you to help them be loosed and come to the Master. If you need healing in your body, there'll be people here to pray for you. Most of all, don't leave this place without knowing Jesus has His hands on you and me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the fact that You are so gracious and so good. Thank You, Lord, that You sent somebody to us to untie and loose us. And Lord, we now get to be the disciples who go and loose others. Now we pray, Lord, that You'll be exalted in everything we do today, and everything we think, everything we say. And as we go from this place, Lord, we go with a heart's desire to see You meet Your need, to help us meet Your need. Fill this earth with Your glory, O Lord, even as we prayed at the beginning. Fill this earth with Your glory as the waters cover the sea. We're going to do that last song, The Lord is Worthy, or The Lamb is Worthy. Lord, I pray Your blessing on Your people as they go from this place. Jesus, together we commit ourselves, Lord, to both seeing and hearing Your need and meeting it. As we go, we thank You that You've loosed us as the colts. And now we have the privilege of bearing You to the world. Bless each one now as they go with freedom and joy and peace in the precious name of Jesus. Please raise your hands for the blessing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Be released in the Lord.